الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن يشكر لله صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we discussed the first two points of the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. These were the lessons that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam had learned in his life, and he is sharing it with us. So the first advice that we had discussed, that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that when a person commences his salah, then at that time, protect your heart. And the second advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, when a person sits down to eat, so at that time, protect your throat. And this, we said that there were three parts to this. One is the diet that a person follows, one is the ingredients of the food that a person eats, and one is the income of a person. And we have stopped with the advice of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, where Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned that one morsel of haram that a person eats, he says, this destroys all the noor in the heart of a person. And when the noor in the heart of a person is destroyed, then he says darkness sets in. And with this darkness comes laziness. Now a person doesn't incline towards ibadah, towards the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says then darkness sets in. And then a person desires, evil thoughts come in, he desires to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The desire of sin comes in. And finally, he does not obey the commands of Allah ta'ala. The tawfiq of ita'at is lost. If you look in the kitabs of hadith, like Bukhari Sharif, an incident has been mentioned of what honesty was found in the past. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi brings a narration where he mentions that in the Bani Israel, there was one person that sold his house. So the customer, the buyer, he bought the house. And after purchasing the house, living in the house, he found some treasure in the house. So when this treasure came up, he took this treasure and he brought it to the seller. He says, when I bought the place, I bought the house from you. I didn't buy whatever was in the house, the treasure that is here, whatever was found, I didn't purchase this. So the seller said, when I sold the house to you, then I sold it with whatever is in the house. That if there's any treasure that is in the house, then the treasure is also included. So now the two of them started fighting. Now look at what a difference in today's time and in those days. Today it's all the fight for money. And they are fighting that you the owner of the money, so you must take the money. So finally they managed to get to some alim or whoever, an arbitrator, that he must now resolve this issue. So the arbitrator, he asked them, he said, do any one of you all have children? So they said they have children. So one person, he had a son, and the other one had a daughter. So he said, get the boy married to the girl. And he said, whatever treasure is here, split the treasure between the boy and the girl. And in this way, he resolved the entire issue. So that was the type of honesty that was found. Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahab, he has written in his kitab, an incident of what taqwa was found in the ulama of the past. And one particular incident he makes mention of, he speaks of a person by the name of Nawab Qutbuddin. So he says that on one occasion he gave dawat. And he gave dawat to two of his contemporaries. One was Maulana Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi, and one was Mufti Muzaffar Hussain Sahab. And Mufti Muzaffar Hussain Sahab was a person that his taqwa was very, very famous. People knew what type of a person he was. And he also gave dawah to his ustad, Mawlana Ishaq Sahab. So his ustad, Mawlana Ishaq Sahab, accepted his dawah. Mawlana Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi also accepted the dawah. But Mufti Muzaffar Hussain Sahab, he refused. He didn't accept the dawah. So Nawab Qutbuddin, he then went to his ustad. And he complained about him. He said that you have accepted my dawah. Mawlana Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi has accepted. But Mufti Muzaffar Hussain Sahab hasn't accepted. So ustad got very upset also. So he said, taqwa ki behazmi hai. That is the indigestion of taqwa. So much of taqwa you are showing now and displaying, that when the man gave you a dawat, he wasn't even prepared to accept his dawat also. So then after some time, he commented, and he said, Hazrat, this person is giving this dawat out of shock. He's got that desire. He wants to make khidmat. He's got desire, that is why he's giving this dawat. So the dawat is out of shock. But at the same time, he's makruz. He's in debt. And to pay that debt is wajib. And to give this dawat and to feed, this is not compulsory. This is a nafil act. So therefore, he should rather pay the debt than giving this dawat. On this incident, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, bohot daqeeq taqwa hai. This is a very, very in-depth level of taqwa, very high level of taqwa, that he could comment in this way. So this was the taqwa that was found. Now when a person has this type of taqwa and tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when his gaze is on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the provider, Allah ta'ala is the sustainer, now a person will never usurp one cent from another person. Why? Because he knows what is destined for me, that is going to come. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature on the surface of the earth except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of its sustenance. It is mentioned under the tafsir of this ayat that Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he had come with a clan of people, with a group of people, his tribe. He came to Madinatul Munawwara after accepting Islam. So when they came to Madinatul Munawwara, they brought their provisions to Madinatul Munawwara. And in a short span of time, these provisions, they were exhausted. So they decided, what should we do? So they made mashwara, and they appointed one person. They said, you go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and tell Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam that we are his guests, and our provisions are now exhausted. So this person, he goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he comes to the door of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salam is making tilawat of Quran, and he's reciting this verse, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature that is on the surface of the earth except that Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility of its sustenance. So he turns away from there. He says, if Allah Ta'ala has taken responsibility, then why should I go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he turns away, he goes away. And he comes back to his clan, to his tribe, and he sits down with them. So they thought that this proposal or this request that they sent him with, he already presented it to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So after a short while, they see one person coming with a whole lot of roti and a container of meat. And he comes and gives it to them. So the entire jamaat, they eat from there. But there was so much of food, so much of barakah in that food, that they said that let us take the leftover and give it to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. There may be some people that are in need. They can also eat from here. So they took this food and they came back to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, the food that you sent for us, this is what is remaining. So we brought it back that there may be other people that are hungry. They can also eat from here. So Nabi alayhi salam said, I didn't send any food. And then they explained the entire incident. So he said, this is that risk which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent from him. So how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provides, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes care of a person. On the occasion of hijrat, when it was time to make hijrat, Allah ta'ala said, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, O my servants that have brought iman, inna ardi wasi'ah, that my land is very, very vast. That if you can't practice upon your deen, then make hijrat. And now go to a place where you can make the ibadat of Allah. فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ. But sahaba were also hesitant on the occasion of hijrat. Why? There are two fears that they had. The one fear is highway robbing. People might attack us. We will lose our life. So that was one fear that they had. And the second fear that they had, that what about our risk? That we are well established. A person is asked to leave his country, go to another country. So you say, but I'm established here. My properties are here. My businesses are here. What am I going to start on the other side? So Allah Ta'ala removed the first doubt. Kullu nafsin ra'iqatul maut. That every person is going to taste death. You fearing your death will also come on its appointed time. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. It won't come before its time, it won't be delayed also. So this shouldn't hold you back. And the second doubt that they had, that what about our risk? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. That how many creatures, how many animals they are out there, that they do not even carry their risk with them. They don't have that kitchen and that pantry where they're storing their risk. Allah Ta'ala provides for them also, Allah Ta'ala provides for you also. Like we hear the hadith again and again of the bird, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِ. That if you only put your trust in Allah in the manner you're supposed to put your trust, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. Allah Ta'ala will give sustenance like how He gives to the bird. تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. When that bird goes out every morning from its nest, it goes with an empty stomach. But when that bird returns in the evening, then the stomach of that bird is full. How Allah Ta'ala provides for that bird? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah in his Ma'riful Quran, he's given an example or an incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from Midian and he was now coming to Egypt, it was a very, very cold night. He lost his direction also. He did not know the way. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the distance, he sees that fire, and which was the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he ends up on the mountain of Tur. And there he starts speaking to Allah Ta'ala and engages in conversation. So much of enjoyment now in this conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that he forgets that my wife is waiting. My wife is waiting for me. So now, when the thought struck him that I left my wife, I told her I'm going to look for a guide, or if there's some fire, I'll bring the fire and come. So now when the thought struck him that my wife is waiting, so he became worried, he became restless. So Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, behind you is a rock. Strike that rock. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam takes his asa and he strikes the rock. When he struck the rock, it split open. There was a second rock inside. So Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, strike the second rock. So he struck the second rock. That rock split open and there was a third rock inside. So he tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that the third rock, strike it. So he strikes the third rock and it opens up. In the midst of the third rock, there is an insect that is there. And it has a green leaf in its mouth. That you worried about your wife. How Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes care of every makhluk and every creation. Allah ta'ala will take care of your wife also. And Allah ta'ala takes care of this insect also. Of the insan also. Of the jinnat also. Every creation of Allah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking care of. One more incident we'll take in this regard. This incident is recorded in the kitab Nuzhatul Basatin. That there was a person from the Kurdi tribe. And this person, he was a robber. So it is mentioned that one occasion, he had taken his whole jamaat, his whole kafla of robbers, and they had gone out. So it was Qailula time in the afternoon, very, very hot. So they stopped at a particular place and decided to take rest at this particular place. So they were lying under the tree. So this person that was the Amir of this jamaat, of this Kurdi tribe, he notices in front of him, there are three trees, khajur trees. So he sees that on one tree is bare. And on another tree there is fresh khajur. So he notices and he observes that a bird goes to the tree that has dates. And it picks up khajur and it takes it to the tree that is bare. But it returns with an empty beak. So this continued. So after some time, he became anxious to find out that what is going on top. So he climbs. So he notices that on the other side, the tree that was bare, there was a snake that was now blind. And when it had become blind, then this bird was now transferring the risk and the sustenance of that snake. So when he seen this, he said, Ya Allah, what is this? That we have been commanded to kill that snake, because it can harm us. But when this very snake became blind, then you use the bird to provide sustenance for the snake. So he came down and he made tawbah. He made tawbah, they broke all the weapons that they had, and they put on the ihram. And he said, now we're going to Makkah Sharif to perform Umrah. So they departed to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So they traveled for a period of 3 days. After traveling for 3 days, they came to a particular town where one lady was making alan. She was announcing. She said, is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe? Is there anyone here from the Kurdi tribe? So this person went up. He says, I'm from the Kurdi tribe. So she said, 3 days ago, that's exactly when they made tawbah. She said, 3 days ago, my son had passed away. And I seen a dream. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructing me that all the possessions that are here, most probably she must have been the only inheritor, that all this possession that is here, that take it and give it to this person from the Kurdi tribe. So when he gave up that robbing, when he made tawbah, he turned to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then how Allah ta'ala made that intizam and Allah ta'ala, that somebody doesn't even know him, but Allah ta'ala made the arrangement that his risk must reach him. If was Ali radiallahu ta'ala was asked a question once, he said, he was asked, oh Ali, that if a person is taken and put into a room, and that room is then sealed, he says that how will the risk of a person reach him? You all are saying that Allah Ta'ala provides for a person. How will the risk of this person then come to him when he is sealed in the room? So the Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that how death will come to him. Exactly how death is going to reach him. Exactly the same way what is written for him, his risk and his sustenance will reach him over there. And how is Allah's system that our risk is written here? Person goes tomorrow for Umrah. That risk which he was supposed to receive here is transferred to Makkah Sharif. And the khajur that is coming from Medina to Munawwara, it is there in Medina. But if it's written for us from Medina, it is transported and brought here. Zamzam is brought from Makkah and we're having it over here. What a computerized system Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has. And how doesn't that risk reach a person? So when a person, he has his gaze on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then a person will never ever get involved in any haram. His income will be 100% halal. Why? Because what is written for me, that is what is going to reach me. And when a person earns halal, then there is a lot of barakah also, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept in halal. The incident has been given of a particular person that was in Dioban, Miyadi Abdullah Sahib. So they say this person, he was Sahib al-Nizbat, great wali of Allah ta'ala as well. So he used to gather grass. And this grass, he would come and he would sell after the Fajr Salah. So It is mentioned that people would wait in a line. That whoever will come and put his hand first on the grass, that grass will be sold to that particular person. And he had a stipulated price. He won't take anything more than that, anything less than that. It was 4 anas. So when he will come, any person that will want the grass will come, claim the 4 anas, and they will take the grass. Now what he would do with these 4 anas, which was a very minimal amount, the 1 ana from there, he would keep for his needs. Whatever his requirements were, whatever his needs were, he would spend the 1 ana on his needs. And the 2 ana, he will keep it aside. That if you have to go to the doctor, or there's some need that arises at a later stage, so for that he will keep 1 ana aside. And the 3 ana, he had a sister that was a widow. So he used to take the 3 ana and he used to spend it on her. That in this is sila rahmi, joining family ties. So he would spend the 3 ana on her. And the 4 ana, this he would keep for the ulama of Darulum Dioban. And it is mentioned that on certain occasions, when he had a substantial amount, a sufficient amount, then he will take this money and he will go himself to the market and he will purchase the ingredients. And then he will cook the food and he will go and present it and give it to the ulama of Darulum Dioban. Now senior, great, great ulama, like Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Mullah Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, Mullah Rashid Ahmad Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali. Great, great awliya of the time, they used to eat from this food. But there were those occasions also where he will now gather the money. And when he has a substantial amount, then he would take this money and he used to give it to Mulana Yaqub Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali. He used to tell Mulana Yaqub Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali that I don't have the time also to cook the food. And I don't know how to cook also. You're an expert cook and he was a great wali of Allah Ta'ala. Now look at Mulana Yaqub Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, in spite of being such a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, he never used to just go and cook the food. But the day he is going to buy the ingredients, so much of respect he had for the ulama of Dioban that he used to take ghusl. And after taking ghusl, then he will take this money and he will go to the marketplace. And then he will purchase the ingredients and come and cook the food. And then that food would be served to the ulama of Dioban. So these great, great ulama and awliya used to say that we used to wait for this dawat of Miyaji Abdullah Sahib, who was a normal person. We used to wait for his dawat. They say through the barakat of that food, there was so much of noor in that food, that they say for 40 days, we used to find the barakat of this. For 40 days, we used to excel in tahajjud namaz. For 40 days, we used to make dua. For 40 days, tears used to drip from our eyes. Such was the barakat of the food of Miyaji Abdullah Sahib. On this, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, he says that what a minimal amount. And so much of barakat that look how much of work he is doing. And he says, what is our condition today? That a man is earning 1,000, but he's short at the end of the month. So when the food of a person, when the income of a person is halal, when Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in there, then with that little amount that a person has, he can do so much. It is mentioned regarding one of the governors of Afghanistan. The grandfather, his name was Dost Muhammad Khan. And this governor that was there, his name was Abdul Rahman Khan. So now we're talking about Dost Muhammad Khan, his son, the son of Dost Muhammad Khan. So he had told his son that after my demise, you must take my position, you must rule over Afghanistan, you must become the ruler. So he appointed him as his successor. So after some time he got some news that the enemies have come in, they've already conquered so much of land of Afghanistan, and they're planning to defeat the Afghanis. So he told his son that take the army and go and combat them, fight against them. And that land that they've already taken, retrieve that land, get that land back into our possession. So he takes the army and he goes out. So after a little while, this Dost Muhammad Khan, he gets the news that your son has fled the battlefield, which is a major sin, that a person from the battlefield, he turns his back and he runs away from the battlefield. So he comes home and he tells his wife, he says, your son is a coward, that your son has fled the battlefield. So the wife, with confidence, she says, it's not possible. It's not possible. He says, go and find out. The information that reached you is incorrect. He says, I'm telling you, this is authentic information. Our son has fled the battlefield. So she says, go and find out. After a little while, news comes again. It's the other way around. It was correct that the enemies had fled the battlefield. And his son was successful. So again, he comes back home and he says that this is the news that has come to me. You were correct in what you said. But then he poses a question to her. He says that, how did you know with certainty that our son could have not fled the battlefield and he was successful? So she says, from the time that I conceived this child, leave haram, never did I feed this child even a doubtful morsel. Not even a morsel that was doubtful. And then she said, when this child was born, and I was breastfeeding the child, she says, leave the condition of janabat, where a person is in need of a faraz ghusl. I never fed the child in the condition of hadath also, when I was in need of wudu. I first made wudu, and after making wudu, then I would, whilst reciting Surah Yasin, I would breastfeed the child. And she says, the child when he eats halal, this causes a person to become bravery. And haram, this causes a person to become a coward. So my son could have never been a coward. Certainly he was brave to be on battlefield. So you see, when a person eats halal, so this is that barakah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put in that food. So much of barakah. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has written another incident regarding Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. That Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes, he was the ustad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi was in Misr. So he said, on one occasion, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi wrote to his student, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. He said, that long time you haven't visited us. So I want to invite you that come over to Egypt, come over to Misr, and come and visit us. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi accepted the dawah of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, and he wrote back that on a particular time I'm ready to come, and everything was fixed, it was arranged. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, in spite of being the ustad, he told his people, he told his family that what a wali of Allah ta'ala Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi is, what a pious person. To such an extent that even the people of the locality were informed. And it is written in the kitab that the king of the time, he was a follower of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So even the king was informed. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi told the people that the day Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi is arriving, we'll go to the outskirts of the town and we'll receive Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. So the king also and all the people, they went out and they received Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. So when they came into the town, then the dawah was prepared. But they expected Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi to eat very little, because the pious people, the buzurgan ad-din, they eat little, very very little, sleep very very little, talk very very little. So they thought that he's going to eat very very little. So everyone had eaten, but Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi is still on the dastarkhan and he is eating. So he had eaten the most. And then he was going to spend the night at the home of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So he told his daughters that prepare the room for Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. So they put in a lota, the clay that was put over there, or the sand that was put over there for istinja, and a miswak and a lota was put over there. Musalla was put. So they said at night when he wakes up for tahajjud namaz, such a pious person, he won't have any difficulty. Everything is available. He can perform his tahajjud namaz here. So after eating and taking so long, now he came to his room and he went into his room. In the morning, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi gets up and without making wudu also, he leaves the room and he goes straight to the masjid for Fajr Salah. So when he goes for Fajr Salah, the daughters now enter into the room to see what happened. This buzruk spent the night over here, how did it go? So when they entered, they seen that the miswak is kept just like that. The water also hasn't been used. Everything is kept as it is. And also without wudu, he is going for Fajr Namaz. So they started entertaining doubts that there's something wrong here. What our father Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi told us? And what is the condition over here? So after the Fajr Salah, the daughters went up to their father. They told Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi that this is the story. That what you told us and what we think over here. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi called Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. And he said, has the condition changed a little bit compared to what you was and what you are now? So Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi said, no, it's not that. So he said, what is it? That you ate so much also, and at night also, you didn't read tahajjud namaz, the water was left just like that, no wuzu was made, and fajr namaz, you went straight to the masjid. So he explained, he said, when I came to eat the food, there was so much of noor that I could see in that food, so much of barakah in that food, that he said, I thought to myself that I'll never get food like this again in my life. So he said, that is why I went to the maximum, and I ate as much as I could. And then he says, when I came to the room, when I came to lie down, he says, this food was 100% halal. And he says, that which is halal, it digests very quickly also. And this brings about noor in the heart. So he says, when I came in the room and I lay down, he says, now there was no time for tahajjud namaz. Because he says, the secrets of Quran started opening up before me. And he says, so many secrets opened up before me, that in this one night, I made istimbat of 100 masail of deen. So this is the barakah, this is the blessing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed in that food that is halal. So this was the second advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you sit down to eat, then make hifazat and protect your throat. That what is going down your throat, if a person eats halal, there will be so much of barakah. And on the contrary, Allah ta'ala save us, if one morsel of haram also goes down, then there's so much of harm also. The third advice of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was this, that when you go to the house of somebody, then protect your nazar. Look what he's saying, when you go to the house of somebody, then protect your nazar. Which indicates to us, that perhaps in the previous time, the woman hardly used to even come out of the house. Quran says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, that remain within your homes. So they used to remain in their home. But in the era, in the time that we are living, it's the opposite. We're all the women out of the home. So how much more hifazat we have to make of our nazar and our gaze. In the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this I don't want to go into detail, Ridwan Sahib covers this in Surah An-Nur, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions a separate command for the men, a separate command for the women, that protect your gaze. Whereas in the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala normally addresses the men, and the women are included in this. But why here a separate command for the men, a separate command for the women? Because it's such an important command that the men also must protect their gaze, and the women also, they must also protect their gaze. That Hazrat Rakim Sahib rahmatullah used to say, he says this is a great favor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has nipped up the problem at the bud, has cut it off at the bud. That just protect your gaze. Because when the gaze of a person will be protected, then thereafter the chastity of a person is protected. And the ayat of Quran, this is the sequence that has come. Allah ta'ala says that lower your gaze and protect your chastity. Mawlana Sami rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that when he used to be traveling by train, so in those days in India they used to have the male compartment separate and the female compartment separate. So when Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi would come to a particular stop, a station, then they also, he wouldn't look out of the window. Why? On assumption that maybe in the opposite direction there is a coach that is passing. And in there, the female coach comes directly in line with my coach. And where the female coach is now, the seat of the female, it's possible there's a female that is sitting at the window. And now possible if I look out of the window, my nazar and my gaze is going to fall on her. And perhaps this female that is there, that she is good looking also. So on assumption, there was no reality. But on assumption, so much of hifazat and so much of care, that Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi never used to look out of the window. One person, he came to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi and he told Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi Hazrat, that many a time I protect my gaze, I look down. He says, but I go through difficulty at that time. My heart desires, I want to see. That is insan, that is a human being. A person that is honest, he'll tell you that I desire to see. Because a normal man, Allah Ta'ala has kept this within him, that he will desire to see the opposite gender. So he says, I desire to see. And when I don't look, then this causes taklif to me, I go through difficulty. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah asked him, that when you don't look and you go through this pain, then how long do you go through this pain for? So he said, perhaps couple of minutes, couple of hours, whatever it might be. And he said, if you had to look, then how long you go through difficulty? So he said, 72 hours. 72 hours. So he said, you make the decision yourself now. That what is better, to go through that difficulty for that little while or for 72 hours? I was explained, he says that here, na lena na dena. That in not protecting your gaze, there's nothing to give also, and there's nothing to take also. One person, he was traveling by train. So while they were traveling by train, he was sitting with his bride, just newly married. And how that bride must have been dolled up, and how she must have been looking. So one person was sitting across. So that person is now looking at this person's wife now, all the time, this newly married woman. So he keeps looking at her. So after some time he got upset, now somebody is looking at my wife. So he told him, he said, look how much you want to look. But tonight she is mine, I'll have her, you won't have her. So here, na lena, na dena. A person is not going to get anything over here. And many a times a person thinks, when I'm young, let me look. But when I get older, then what's going to happen? Then I'll give it up. But here, when a person gets older, sometimes he might be colder than a deep freeze also. But the desire gets even more stronger. It's not that it gets any weaker. As Rakim Sahib rahmatullahi, on one occasion, he was on the bus. So while they were traveling on the bus, so there was one elderly person, perhaps in his 80s, 90s, whatever it might be, and he was sitting in the front seat. So one young girl came and she sat next to him, on the opposite seat. So this person now, he starts looking at her. Not only with the eyes, but with his mouth open also, he's gaping at her. So the conductor came, so conductor said, Kaka, ticket lelo. Kaka, ticket lelo. He's taking Kaka up. Kaka is another one. He's looking somewhere else. So this is this disease, that if a person, he does not get control of it when he is young, then later on, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save all of us, Allah ta'ala cure all of us from this, that later on in life, then this disease does not leave a person. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi says, what is the crux of the tasawwuf of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi? The crux of the tasawwuf of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi is this, al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. That you don't cause harm to another Muslim, neither with your tongue also, and neither with your hand also. But Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi says, that a person, when he leaves home in the morning, that person won't cause harm to somebody who makes an intention. If one is a person, adam qasd iza. A person didn't make an intention when he left home. He didn't make an intention that I will harm somebody, neither did he make an intention I won't harm anybody. This person, he's in neutral. The car, even if it's in neutral, you push it front, it will go front. You push it back, it will come back. So somewhere along the line, this man is going to hurt somebody. And one is, first the other may isa, where a person, he makes a firm intention, I'm not going to harm anyone. That person will be conscious now. He won't harm a person generally. Why? Because he knows he has made this intention when he left home in the morning, I'm not going to cause harm to anyone. Similarly, just like this, that as far as the nazar is concerned, when a person leaves home in the morning, one is adam qasd nazar. A person didn't make an intention that I won't look. Neither did he make an intention that I'm going to look. So he never make any intention. He is in neutral. Sometime he'll come across somebody, he'll look also. Somewhere he'll go, maybe he'll go to the bank, he'll flirt also a little bit. Why? He didn't make that intention when he left home. But if he made that intention in the morning, when he left home, he made an intention that I'm not going to look. So this person will remain on this, that I'm not going to look today. And this person, it will become easy for him. So a person, when he leaves home in the morning, this is the intention that a person should leave with. A poem that is quoted, that, Meri nazar par inki nazar paas ba rahi, afsos, main is khabar se be khabar tha. That the gaze of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's gaze was on my gaze. Allah ta'ala was watching where I was looking. But unfortunate, and how sad, that I was totally unaware of this. The example is given, like for example, a person, he went into a supermarket, and now there were cameras in the supermarket. So this person, he stole something from the shelf. So when he's leaving the supermarket, they will call him, security will say, please come here. So they take him one side, and they tell him that you have shoplifted. So initially there's denial. He says, no, I didn't take anything. So then they put the footage on, and they say, look, you picked something out. Picked it up. Now what humiliation a person goes through. So exactly think like this, every second of our life, every moment of our life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching us. And how shaitan deceives a person. An example is given of a person that's a sugar merchant. He sells sugar. So this person, he was selling sugar, he had a customer. But after some time, this customer, he went and started buying somewhere else. He was getting sugar at a cheaper price. So he started buying somewhere else. So this was a shrewd businessman. So what he did, he said, no, let me invite that customer for tea. So he invited him for tea. And what he did, before he came, he put a few teaspoons of sugar already in his cup. And then he asked him, how many sugar you take when you sit down for tea? He says, no, I'll take 2 teaspoons or 3 teaspoons. So he puts the 2 or 3. But already before there's 2 or 3 put in. Now he puts 2 or 3 extra. So now this person thinks, oh, what sweet sugar, tea this is. So he said, this is my sugar. Quality sugar I'm selling to you. That guy, what he was selling to you? So he says, this is quality sugar. So what he shows him and what he gives him. So exactly like this. Shaitan, when he shows you that woman, then he shows you how beautiful she is and how good she is. But when a person, he gets involved, then in the filthiest of place, a person, he gets involved. So be careful of shaitan. I'll just terminate on this one incident. Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, when he was here a few years ago, he mentioned one incident. He spoke on business transaction. And at the end of his entire program in the Jalsa, he mentioned one incident. He said that in Durban, there was one businessman. He was a very, very wealthy businessman, multimillionaire. He said this man was so busy that he had no time even to handle calls, that I need to speak to this one or this one, no time to see to anyone. So he says that because he was so wealthy, he started getting involved in this fitna, in this haram with woman. One day this woman, the next day that woman, another day another woman. So in this way he was getting involved. So he says finally came that stage in his life where all his businesses, all his wealth was totally lost. And then he phoned Mufti Saab for an appointment. So Mufti Saab gave him an appointment. He said, you can come and see me. So he told Mufti Saab, he said, that I had the last 2 rand in my pocket. And this last 2 rand that I had in my pocket, I used it to make a phone call to get this appointment with you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us. So these are great advices. This is the advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, that protect your gaze when you go to somebody's house. And in today's time, wherever we are, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq and all of us.